seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or a comment for our guest today, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with me today, we're very fortunate. I have Deputy Police Chief Sweet, Rick Sweet. And he gave me a call on Saturday as I'm watching a playoff game to inform me of an ongoing crisis matter. And he just ordered out the CERT team. So let's start. What is a CERT team?
So the CERT team is a regional team that's actually managed by the Alaska State Troopers. Fairbanks Police Department used to have its own SWAT team or a tactical police team. Due to staffing requirement numbers, also nationally, what they recommend, the National Tactical Officer Association, the numbers. So we became part of the regional CERT team. So we feed into up to five officers from the Fairbanks Police Department and fill into the CERT. CERT is special training. They work in teams. And basically, you're going to call them in for your higher level incidents. Felony incidents, search warrants, arrest warrants, they're going to serve that. They bring a lot of extra special tools and training to situations where your routine patrol officers are unable to handle it.
What is CERT an acronym for?
It's the State Emergency Response Team.
Okay. Yeah. Boy. And you were telling me that there were reports of a gentleman walking around downtown Fairbanks in the afternoon with a rifle.
Yes. So it started about 1 p.m. Well, it actually started a little bit earlier in the day. There were some reports from the local residents of some strange activity by one of their neighbors that they were noticing. And I think the individual is known to the neighbors and to us of having some mental health crisis issues. But there was some other unusual behavior. And then they started noticing that he had a rifle. And the rifle was a bolt-action rifle. It was reported, and possibly a shotgun. So he's walking around the street, and he's pointing it, not necessarily at anybody in particular at first. And then they weren't sure if he was pointing it at passing cars or not. So that's how we get involved with the notification. From that, we didn't have to look and see, what our response is. We only have a few officers on. We have our sergeant that's acting as a watch commander, and two officers on duty at the time, which really isn't enough to handle an armed subject. So, we have some options. We want to look at the less lethal option. We also have some the mobile crisis team, which is Alaska Behavioral Health team that goes out there. There's a clinician level and a peer that we have access to. We'll call them out primarily. We deal with them in, suicidal subjects.
Yeah, the crisis management team.
Yeah, they just come in and help us out. So this is a level one response for them, which is basically just saying that the officers have to settle the situation down first, but they sit in support. And so it's just something that we looked at. Can we get involved? And it's interesting because we're still trying to figure out that handoff, how that plays with the mobile crisis team and officers in these situations. So that's what they're dealing with. We're starting to get calls. So now the on-duty watch commander is calling. He calls his lieutenant, who calls me, and we start looking at what are our resources. What can we bring to bear? It's where's the location? What's can you get close enough? What's the person doing? He eventually ends up going back into his own residence, which is a house, but it's kind of converted into apartments. And so that adds another dynamic into our kind of our problem set.
It's a barricade.
Yeah, it's a barricaded subject. And then the question becomes, who else is in there? So if he's in there by himself and he's suicidal, then we tend to back off and see if we can contact him in another way, a known phone number, if we have family members, the mobile crisis team can call him, suicidal hotline. We try to find all those other resources. But he was kind of pushing the intervention quicker. We look at it a couple ways in containment and control. Mm-hmm. is how we view something. Containment is, can we contain the problem or the individual causing the issue to us to limit the number of people or property that's being influenced by them and by their action? You know, if you're talking about somebody that has a explosive device, obviously that area might be much bigger. A rifle, you know, the line of sight for the rifle. If it's somebody who's just wielding a bat, then it's a much smaller area. If they're mobile or if they're stationary, those are the things that we have to look at, and we try to keep that containment down. Control is the other one, is the amount of control that the individual has over others, and whether we can gain control to prevent that control being expanded. An example of that would be is if I have a firearm and I'm walking alone, I have really very, and I'm in a wooded area, I have no real control over anybody but myself.
Mm-hmm.
Versus I walk into a crowded market area, now I have a lot of control over a lot of other people. So the control is how big that becomes. So once he goes inside, it's not just the barricade, which is how do you see what's going on inside and what is his level of control of people. He controls everything, or they control everything, because we can't put any influence on removing people that are potential victims or innocent parties in this, to remove them from the situation. So that becomes the worst, one of the worst situations that you can deal with. The worst would be a barricade subject with a kidnapped and somebody's, you know, express that they're, you know,
you want to go out of the world.
Yeah, right out of the movies.
Yeah.
You know, right out of the movies. I'm going to kill everybody inside if you don't do this.
Oh, boy.
So CERT has, because it's a state team, they operate under the state rules, even though we feed into it. So they have a checklist that, and it has to meet, the situation has to meet certain parameters for them to be called out. This at first, although it's fairly serious, does not quite meet those parameters. And what we figured we needed was an armored vehicle, because the position of the house did not allow our officers to get close enough just to do observations and not put them in danger. Particularly because of the rifle. You want to just kind of sit back and observe. You want to make sure, you want to keep it so our presence alone doesn't escalate the situation. So sometimes the badge and the uniform and the cars that are marked settle everything down. Sometimes you roll in there and it just settles everything down, and the fight, you know, we've seen fights at some of the local bars, and one officer shows up, you got your lights on, you get out, and then everything settles down. Other times it animates it, and especially if somebody's in crisis, you know, that may animate just based on their experience with officers, or if they're in an altered state of awareness, or whatever they're going through. You know, the different things, just the dynamic is so big, we just don't know what it would be. So the best thing to do is kind of make that assessment. So just from prior contacts with the individual, we figured that officer presence tends to elevate him. So we wanted to sit back and look at that. And the assessment was we need some kind of armored vehicle so we can get up close. So it does turn from intervention into we're now defending ourselves. It's better to be in an armored vehicle if we can have it. So the trooper CERT team does have access to that. It's called a Bearcat. It just gives us armed protection with a lot of speakers.
Communication devices.
Yeah, it's kind of a military-like vehicle, but it's not a tank. It doesn't have machine guns on it. It doesn't, you know, a lot of people think it's that. It's not stealth mode. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't.
Oh, darn! It's not a real cool toy.
No, it's so the officers can sit in there and get up close. Yes, so we can get a rep at the door, and basically you're just knocking on the door saying, "Hey, we're here. You know, we're here to give you help. That's the primary goal, but." We're trying to retain that control. We're containing and controlling. We'll go back to those two terms. And so we're trying to keep this from escalating outside this area.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. I have Deputy Police Chief Sweet in the studio with me, and we're talking about the incident in downtown Fairbanks on Saturday. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
If these cold drafts are making you think about replacing your windows and patio doors, I'm Chris Dunn, the local owner of Renewal by Anderson, and I have some great news. We've postponed our 2023 price increase until January 31st. So this is your last chance to pay 2022 window and patio door prices. Before January 31st, save 20% on every window and patio door. And with our Smart Pay programs, no interest, no payments, no money down for 12 months. Our list prices on windows and patio doors will literally never be as low as they are right now. So call to get 2022 prices and save 20% on every window and patio door. Plus, you won't pay anything for 12 months. Call before January 31st, and you'll still get Renewal by Andersons 2022 prices. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And then Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Followed by the Combos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. All shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching one above. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 7 below tonight. Cloudy tomorrow, high of 6 above. Temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday, with highs in the single digits above zero. Chance for snow Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm very fortunate to have Deputy Chief Sweet in the studio here with me. We're discussing the Saturday incident in downtown Fairbanks. Now, the CERT team, you went there because they had the armor vehicle,
yes,
which is not an offensive weapon. It's defensive for protection.
It is. It gives us a capability to get close
where and not get shot.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Get close and not get
ultimately,
shot.
Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah. So how many people were on the CERT team, and how did it form?
Well, it, so
this on this incident.
Yeah. Tactically, I mean, it depends on the CERT team. They run their own, and they make their determination on how many are going to go out. You know, the vehicle itself can be operated with a smaller number, you know, just a driver and somebody inside. Mm-hmm. It can be used in other ways where the CERT call may not be the whole CERT team, but you can use it in, I mean, it's not an official term, but you kind of get back to the tactical police side.
Yeah.
So it's not a full SWAT CERT mission, but you need assistance with other tools.
Yeah, experienced officers with the equipment.
Yeah, yeah. So you want to bring those in. You know, for our dynamic is if you have, so in a problem set, if you have somebody that's barricaded and they're coming in and out of a building, so let's say, and that's in those sets of circumstances where they're not stationary and you're sitting back, you have the potential where you'll have this unintended contact with a uniformed officer, a patrol officer, and it's an armed person, and it forces some kind of confrontation outside of your own timeline that you want to try. So again, we talked about that containment and control. We're trying to get the tempo away from the person. We're trying to control it so that we can have a little bit more say in what's doing in our timeline. Way more difficult when we're talking about mental health, because which this is really what it turned out to be, and it was kind of pretty evident at the beginning that we're maybe dealing, or probably most likely,
you're not dealing with bank robbers, you know, who are escaping and all of a sudden they're taking hostages.
Right,
you're dealing someone with a mental issue who you know of.
Yes,
you have personal interactions with them already.
Yeah, and it takes time. So the other tools, the less lethal options we have. You know, we've moved in the last 2 years. We've moved all the officers to go through training. Our officers, we've got sock rounds for the shotguns. So we've converted a number of the shotguns into basically just a big sock round.
Mm-hmm.
We've got those. All the officers have new tasers. We bought them about 2 years ago. They're the X7 taser, which is a brand new one.
I've never been tased, and I'm knocking on wood. So cool. Good for you.
You know, we also have a pepper ball system, which is basically just a paintball. It's mm-hmm. just like a regular paintball, but it shoots out a small ball that's a powder, and you can use it for crowd dispersion or an individual, and it just it puts off an OC powder, and it's an irritant to the eyes. It's not. It's not. It's not CS gas. We don't use any CS gas.
It makes them pause.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just those things, and they're tools that help us kind of gain that control. Is really what they are, and we want the peaceful resolution to it. The integrations of the other thing that we put on there are integrations of negotiation and our crisis intervention team. So we talked a little bit about how we're trying to get the mobile crisis team involved, and we're still figuring out their interaction with our officers on the street when we talk about suicidal subjects or people in crisis. What we're finding with this was the first incident where we have the mobile crisis team staged. Although they were farther away, and we had CERT going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting dynamic as we're going through it. So this was the first kind of run through. What we've discovered is we really can't bring in the mobile crisis team and put them in with CERT. That's not their preview.
Yeah.
So it reiterates the necessity that we have negotiators and we have the crisis intervention team trained, the CIT trained officers on the street. And that's a 40-hour block training. It's a national program.
1 week,
yep. That's a challenge for us, so we have to pull an officer off the street and send them to school for this. We can try to bring it in, but usually we have to send them down to Anchorage or send them off to some place where we're going because we just can't pull off an entire shift to do it. Our original goal was to have all officers CIT trained.
Mm-hmm.
The most the department ever had was about 70%, and now we're down to very few just because of attrition and just we can't get them into the training. But this just reiterates if the mobile crisis team really can't be put into a service because it's dangerous, you know, even inside of a bear, we're not going to put them in the Bearcat. But so we need somebody to help with negotiation that has that deals that just thinks about it from a different aspect of, you know, somebody in mental health crisis. Negotiators do. So if we put our negotiators through, there's different types. There's crisis negotiator. There's barricaded subject. The FBI. Does some of the programs. The National Tactical Officer Association does them. All of those are certified, but they all have a little different flavor. So we have to kind of you keep the training level going on your negotiators and the skill of a negotiator, and you add crisis negotiation into it for mental health, and that helps.
So you have basically an officer or a couple officers outside keeping a review on this until you get the CERT team there.
You do. Yes.
And then once the CERT team arrived, then what happened?
So usually, you know, we don't talk too much about tactics because we don't want to give away, but usually when the CERT team comes up.
Oh, come on. Darn
yeah,
you.
We don't want too much.
You're being too smart for me, Deputy Chief.
But the CERT team commander comes in and does an assessment. They'll do a handoff. We'll do a tactical decision. We usually try to do a couple layers of barricade area from our side, not the barricade subject, but our barricades.
Safety for the public.
Yeah, so we keep people back, and so that area is secure. We try to create a safe zone where you can stage if you're going to talk about any kind of rescue asset. You know, along with this too is, you know, like the city public works comes in. We brought them in and they put the permanent barricades up, the more permanent ones.
Jersey barriers
and cones.
They're good at that.
Yep. Yeah, so they did a great job.
They love that. They love, oh yeah, we're part of the CERT team. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job. They were in there pretty quick. Jeff Jacobson,
yep.
Yep, called him up and he got them out there pretty quick. And that takes a lot of pressure off of us because if you think about officers are now sitting on roadways and blocking, now I can pull them off and we can reallocate them because everything comes to a standstill when you're talking about this. Like if it's a school incident, if it's like this barricade, everything comes to a standstill for this. But the rest of the city is still living its life.
Yeah.
And there's accidents, there's thefts, there's all the other things that we still deal with on a daily basis that still have to be dealt with. So the watch commander will call, and basically he's calling for the cavalry. And, you know, it comes up to the deputy chief. One of the things we do is we come in, but for me, I come in and then we're about asset management. So on the backside of this, we look at all the other pieces. So public works. The other thing we had staging was the Fairbanks Fire Department. We had EMS sitting there.
Yeah, ready to go. Just in case.
Yep. Not just for officers, but for the individual that we're dealing with or any bystander. So we don't want to have them sitting there. So they're staging, the MCT staging. So all that stuff sits there. Well, once the CERT team comes in, that commander takes over the tactical situation, and they just deal with the individual. So they're gonna separate their tactical. They're gonna use both their own assets and possibly your patrol assets. So the number of officers involved in this is all going to based on what would be the tactical situation and how big that area is. So if it's if the containment, you may have contained it, but say it's a city block and that's the containment, much bigger. Containment on a house, much smaller. Containment on a car, that's still a barricaded subject. Somebody's sitting inside of a car, barricaded subject, but it's a much smaller area. You know, sitting in the middle of Walmart's parking lot in the middle of the day, huge problem. Sitting in the middle of Walmart's parking lot while Walmart's closed and there's nobody around.
Easy.
Not so big.
3 a.m., yeah, we're good.
Yeah. So all those play into it. And then immediately we're trying to sit there and say, okay, from the patrol side, from regular patrol operations, how many officers can we pull back to now resume original patrol operations back into traffic, back into, you know, all the calls for service. Yeah, missing persons, welfare checks, you know, all the things that we do when we're not doing this other stuff. And so, like, in this scenario, we had to call in officers that were coming in anyway on the next shift because it was getting, you know, getting close to that, so we call them in early. But then we also try to contact officers that are on their day off, and so now we're pulling them on their day off to see if we can, you know, bring them in early, and then they can run patrol for a couple, maybe it's just a few hours. And what we do is we bring them in, and we say, okay, if you can go out there and just start running, taking the what we call calls for service. So it's just our term for when, you know, somebody calls in and says, hey, I need police assistance, something's happened. That's a call for service is what we call it. Goes into our stack, into our computer. The officer and the watch commander gets to see it, and then we assign that based on a priority. So, you know, it just depends on this. You know, the barricaded subject is the highest priority. Obviously, it's an ongoing issue involving a person and loss of life or serious injury, physical injury. Those are the highest for us. And then once that's dealt with, then we peel that back.
Boy, it gets interesting. So you showed up. Speakers came out, I'm sure. How do you establish communication?
Well, we have we call it the big voice. There's a gigantic speaker, and it's directional.
Yeah, I remember getting hell from the previous person here for 3 straight weeks for you getting that speaker. And, yeah, he thought it was something that you could almost kill people with.
Yeah, it's loud when you're standing in front of it. But
And that's what it's made for. Hello, we're the police.
Yeah.
Come out with your hands up, or, you know, the communication.
Yeah, and you know,
there's no sound waves that knock people down.
No.
Okay.
You know, and all that comes from Supreme Court rulings on law enforcement. You know, a lot of what law enforcement does and why we do certain things and why tactics are designed the way they are because of
court cases.
The court cases. Yeah. The courts rule on certain things, and it's a never ending and always evolving process. It always changes.
Yeah.
And so it's not just cases inside of Alaska. So Alaska has its own, you know, court system, so own, you know, Supreme Court and a Court of Appeals, plus the federal side. But we also have it, you know, across the country. We're in the 9th Judicial District for the federal side, but the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, all the way through could rule on something, and that could have impact on us as well, because maybe it's a situation that nobody else has ruled on. And so, you know, we look at it, and the agencies that watch tactical response, they report on it, and that's who we listen to and say, okay, well, what are you seeing as far as the response, and what's legal, what are the liabilities to the officers, what is the liability to the city or the state, you're the agency, if we operate a certain way or we don't operate a certain way.
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to have some bumper music, which is Aerosmith, Walk This Way, and I fully approve this. I gave Melissa Burnett, Rock Candy, a good wet four on her goofy bumper music. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, weather, and then we'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Police are searching for 2 suspects they say shot and killed 6 people, including a baby, earlier this week at a home in Central California.
I do believe that the cartel is involved. I do believe that there's high-ranking gang structure involved in this. And the reason that I believe that is this is not your norm.
Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau on Fox's America Reports. One of the officers found guilty of murder in the death of George Floyd is appealing his state conviction.
An attorney for former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin argued before an appeals court Wednesday over what he called numerous legal and procedural errors during Chauvin's murder trial in Hennepin County Court, pointing to a potentially biased juror who attended a Black Lives Matter rally.
Fox's Jeff Manasso, even if Chauvin were to win an appeal, his federal conviction would keep him in prison. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A polar bear has attacked and killed two people in a remote village in western Alaska, according to state troopers. Alaska state troopers said they received the report of the attack at 2:30 p.m. Tuesday in Wales, on the western tip of the Seward Peninsula, KTUU reported. Initial reports indicate that a polar bear had entered the community and had chased multiple residents, troopers wrote. The bear fatally attacked an adult female and juvenile male. The bear was shot and killed by a local resident as it attacked the pair, troopers said. The names of the two people killed were not released. Troopers said they were working to notify family members. Troopers and the State Department of Fish and Game are planning to travel to Wales once weather allows for it, the dispatch said. Wales is a small, predominantly Inupiaq town of about 150 people, just over 100 miles northwest of Nome. Fatal polar bear attacks have been rare in Alaska's recent history. Alaska scientists in 2019 found changes in sea ice habitat had coincided with evidence that polar bears' use of land was increasing and that the chances of a polar bear encounter had increased.
Online at KFAR660.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Testosterone boosters, do they really work?
We have several things to boost your testosterone. The most important thing is knowing where you're starting at, and then we make sure that you're at the right level. If you're not, we try something different until we find what works best for you. And whatever you're seeing on TV about testosterone boosters, we've got something better.
Find out more about men's health with Dr. Tony Nima and Fairbanks Urology, now in their beautiful new location, along with Fairbanks Clinic at the corner of Cushman and Daphne.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Deputy Chief Rick Sweet in the studio with me here. We're discussing Saturday's event downtown and just coming into the portion where they're establishing communication. How was that done?
So, you know, the things we look at is if we know any kind of, we look to see if we have any known phone numbers. We see if we have any family members. And we'd, I'd try to message the Tanana Chiefs, the chief over there, Brian, and see if they had any contacts.
Very good person.
Yeah. He reached out to see if they knew anybody.
Person. Yeah.
He was text messaging me back, and they weren't really sure. I mean, the name seemed familiar.
So but they were looking.
We were looking, yeah. Ultimately, it just really comes down to with this situation is it was the big voice, right? It was that the loudspeaker.
That thing I got 3 weeks of hell for.
Yep, that's what it came down to, and then that, you know, that clear communication. And so, you know, not only do you have people that are inside the vehicle, but there's officers that are outside as well. So you do have a personal presence that they're behind it, you know, or they're in an area that they have. Cover and concealment as well, so they're safe from, you know, in case there's something that's something goes off. Yeah. So in that situation, we're talking to them. They're talking to them directly. So what's happening?
How did, you know, I know you probably can't say how the conversation went, but how long did it take to, and the levels of resolvement?
We figured, so if we figured this, really, this all starts, I get notified about 1 p.m. So patrol, our FPD's patrol is now
engaged.
Got the call. Yeah, engaged at about 1 p.m. And by the time he's detained in handcuffs, and we've already had all the EMS look at him, and now he's on the way to Fairbanks Correctional Center. That was at 4:16 p.m. So you're looking about four hours, 20 minutes.
I remember when you called me about 1:30 to fill me in on everything. Do you remember what I told you?
Oh, just, yeah, you're worried about the officers. And
bring home everyone.
Yeah, bring everybody home.
Bring everyone home. And I called you up at 9, and what did you tell me?
Everybody came home that was injured on both sides.
There you go. Exactly. It was a good day, a great day.
Yeah, and that is ultimately the success for us. You know, we do not want to use lethal force if we have to. You know, lethal force has to be, we have to have lethal force ready, and all officers have to be trained to do that. But ultimately, that's one of the things that we bring is what are the less lethal options? Can we talk our way through it? That's that's what you want to do. What I think is not understood is that officers, when we talk about that containment and control, initially, once we show up on scene, it takes us a little bit to figure out what's going on and figure out a plan of action. Sometimes that's a matter of seconds or minutes, and sometimes they allow us the opportunity to take hours or, you know, or time to do that. It's just, it's a matter of the person that you're dealing with and what they're giving us, they're affording us to do. If we get a little bit more time, we can bring more resources. You know, we can bring more expertise and more specialty into it. You might be able to get family members on a phone. You might be able, not, or not. You know, it just depends. What we don't know is, you know, you say, well, we have access to a parent. Well, maybe the parent's the trigger.
Yeah.
We don't know. So that's challenging, you know, and you try to establish a rapport, or you try to figure out, well, hey, what's going on? We may have an officer on shift that has a relationship with the person that we're dealing with, or you may have an officer that's not on shift that you have a relationship with, and we call them and say, hey, are you available to come in? We've had FPD officers just come in. They said, yeah, I'll come in and I'll talk to them. You know, so they stop what they're doing and with their own family, and they come in and see if they can talk to them.
And in this situation, he had his door open, so he was observable.
He was.
Yes. Yeah, so that tones down the situation.
It does. So we're a little more aware. At some point, we realized that there are other people inside the house with him. He actually does walk out of the house with a small child. So that raises our level of concern up right away. So he's not, so it's not a... Because kind of up to that point, we're like, okay, the discussion is, can you walk away from it? So maybe you walk away from this. Has he done anything? I know we have a firearm. We have this have this kind of behavior that's...
But other than that, he's not done anything that endangered anyone.
That we are aware of, right? And so can you walk away and let the crisis kind of fall off? Because if it's... We don't know if there's drugs or alcohol on board. We don't know if it's just straight mental health. We don't know a lot yet. But can you allow that spike... To, you know, it's kind of like a roller coaster. Are they going up on the mental health crisis, or are they coming down? Are they manic, or are they depressed? Where are they at in that cycle? And you know, sometimes it takes time to figure that out. If they're coming down, they just go to sleep. Sometimes you just walk in and you can talk to them, or or maybe the next day, if you're allowed to kind of maybe just get away from them, they're not affecting anybody because their area of the people they have a control over is just themselves, and it's just you can resolve it that way. And so there's no force, we don't have to confront them right there and then. So that's an assessment that we make. But now when you start saying that there's people inside the house and now we've got a small child, we can't walk away from it. Pretty much in this situation, we had already determined that we needed to keep observation and we really couldn't break away from it, like we were talking earlier, just because his behavior with the rifle. Mm-hmm. We're now getting more information that he had pointed it at other people. And brandished it. We're trying to see if we had any true victims in this, if they were, because you got to be placed in fear with the rifle. It's not just because you had a rifle pointed at you. Believe it or not.
That sounds like one of those appellate court things.
It is. Yeah. It has certain requirements. So, and really, that's what officers deal with. You know, has the law been broken? And that's where police can get into some trouble is when we start saying, well, you know, that doesn't seem right, you know, and for us regularly, we would say, yeah, absolutely. Nobody, you know, societal norm would say, yeah, I wouldn't do that. There's no one would ever regularly do that. And that's not right, but it's not against the law. And so, you know, we have no legal authority to enforce that. We can try to keep the peace if we're asked to come into those scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we have to step back and say, you know, we're there to enforce the law, and that's pretty much it, or ordinances, and that's pretty much it. So with him, that's where we're at in this. And so, we get this other piece of information, so this raises it back up, and now we've got a barricaded subject with people inside. So the resolution of that is, you know, where do you go with that? You try to find family members, and eventually it resolves. We're able to get the child comes out of the house, and the other individual comes out of the house. Again, the level is the individual involved in it? You know, so you don't know if they are truly an uninvolved person or if they're party to the crime. So there's some aspects to that we have to kind of work ourselves through. And so sometimes people get put in handcuffs or we detain them temporarily till we figure it out. In this case, they were not involved in it. It's just dealing with a person who had a mental health issue, and they were quickly released, and that was good. So now we're back down to where we need to be, and now we're just dealing one-on-one with the person.
He got on his meds.
Yeah. So, and then the resolution of it is just really it's time. So now we're playing, we're talking, we're working through the problems. He's actually entered in, which was good. It's bad where they refuse to talk to you because you don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
We're just trying to figure out where he's at. And then ultimately the resolution comes where they did have to use some OC gas, and they put it in the house, and then that helps him make his decision to come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good. No property damage with it. Sometimes there is, but there's no, I don't believe there's any property damage. He comes out and basically just put in handcuffs, and then
he's good to go.
And he's good to go, and then we charge him. Originally, we arrest him, so he was released originally on a prior assault. We had arrested him earlier in the week for an assault in the third degree with a knife, all relating back to this mental health issue that he was dealing with, I think, which is and then he had conditions of release. So we arrested him on his conditions of he was violating those conditions by having the possession of the firearm. So after the district, charges sent over to the district attorney, they looked at it and said that it met the requirement for terroristic threatening in the second degree. So his charge was upgraded to a felony. So now he's got to answer for a felony charge of that. So ultimately, when I look at these, I say, well, he's probably going to end up getting help. So hopefully,
you can't worry about what he's going to be charged with in the future.
Right.
It's the here and the now, shutting it down, so to speak, and making sure everyone, as you said, David, everyone came home fine, including the suspect.
Yes.
And that's the best thing that can happen.
Yeah, we look at it as safety of life. That's we used to talk in priority life. That's not really a good acronym for it. It's really safety of life. So how can we save everybody and bring everybody home? We don't always have a say in it.
No, you don't.
The people we're dealing with have a say, and that's the unfortunate part. But fortunately, this one resolved really well, and we're all very happy, and hopefully he can get some help eventually.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Listen to KFR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. We'll take the phone call before we take the break. How's that? Good morning. You're on KFR Radio with Deputy Chief Rick Sweet, and your name is?
Jamie.
Hello.
Hey, I have a question. I might have missed something. I thought I was listening when I heard it was you as a guest. Now, what initiated the contact with this person? Because some kid guy, I don't know, I didn't catch the age, was walking around with a rifle?
Yes, in downtown Fairbanks.
Yeah, so he's...
Is that not allowed anymore? I mean, I used to come in from the bush, and if I wasn't in my own vehicle, which, there were times... I mean, I had to walk around Fairbanks in the 80s, sometimes early 90s. I remember, Frank DeLong holding a big gun rally in the early 90s right in front of the state building.
There were reports that he had pointed at people, and that he was also known, the police also knew who this person was, knew that he was out on probation or parole, rather, and he could not be, and he had conditions where he was violating those conditions. And that was reported to me by the police chief as they were calling out the CERT team.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess that makes it different. I didn't catch that, but is it illegal to walk around town with a rifle slung over your shoulder now?
No, it's not. No, you have a right to walk around with it. and you can open carry just like anybody else, as long as you don't have any other lawful restriction, and you can carry it wherever you can lawfully carry. So, you know, if you can't go into a bank, you can't go into a school with it. But no, you're fully able to do that, and we don't cost you at all for that.
What if like a completely like person like me was walking around town with a rifle? I mean, I don't intend to do it. I used to at times had to do it, but you know, that if somebody called up and says, "Hey, there's this girl walking around town with a rifle. You know, check her out." Is it reason for contact, even though you're not pointing and nobody knows you and you've got no blah blah blah?
So, no. So the short answer is no. So anybody could be contacted, I guess. You could go up to it, but we wouldn't do it. So if a call came in and said, just like you said, they come into our, you know, our dispatch center, "Hey, I've got somebody down here on 2nd Avenue and they're carrying a rifle." And we'd say, well, the question would be, well, what are they doing with it? Well, they're just walking around with it. And we're like, well, we'll go back to the call is, well, they're not violating anything, and unless they are, or they're acting strangely, like if you're, because you can't have a weapon if you're intoxicated. That is a crime under state law.
Yeah, obviously. But I mean, just a regular person.
Nope, regular person walking around. Nope, you are free to do that. And okay. Fairbanks Police is we're not gonna dispatch a unit to go talk to somebody just because they're walking around downtown. If we're gonna talk to somebody because they have a firearm, it's usually because of a behavior that involves the firearm that is potentially dangerous or illegal. That would be the only reason.
Okay. All right, well, you know, people do make stuff up. I mean, it's kind of like red flag laws. You know, people can send people on you and lie. I mean, it happens. It happens with child services, you know, people. It happens all the time. Somebody gets mad at you. That's why red flag, those are basically, you know, there's a lot of...
Yeah, and they should not use the police to carry out their social injustice. We got to go. Thank you for the phone call. You take care. And Fairbanks will be back after these commercial messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Rome was founded in 753 BC by Romulus, making it one of the oldest continuously occupied cities in Europe. Giraldo's hasn't been open nearly that long. However, since 1984, we have become the pasta capital of Fairbanks. From the stuffed cannelloni, to the eggplant parmigiana, to the fettuccine alfredo, Giraldo's has established itself as the center of the pasta-loving universe of Fairbanks for millenniums to come.
Jeans Chrysler, Coors Light, and Crown Royal present the Backyard Country Barbecue featuring multi-platinum artist Chris Young live in concert Friday, June 23rd at the Carlson Center.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave. I just had that one drink and we've all got...
Tickets start at $45 to $75 in advance. Don't miss Chris Young in concert this summer at the Carlson Center.
Tuxedo waiters, black tie, white...
This is an all-ages show. Chris Young, with over 5 billion career streams, 8 studio albums, and 10 number one hits.
The bluest skies don't seem so blue.
Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. Chris Young with the full band. Brought to you by Key Realty and the Clarion Hotel.
This is an Erickson Unlimited event.
Nothing going on in town tonight.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 1 above. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 7 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies. 6 above tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Single digits above zero Friday and Saturday with a chance for snow Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Deputy Chief Rick Sweet. The previous caller brought up a very interesting subject. You know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, you don't see it as much anymore. We all had gun racks in our cars, you know, just in case you had to shoot a moose or you got the opportunity to, or shoot a duck. This is Fairbanks, Alaska. This is a Fairbanks North Star borough. you have more guns per capita here than anywhere, if not in the world, in the United States anyway. And that's what you deal with on a daily basis. So you probably get used to it real fast.
We do. You know, you first show up. We have our lateral officers come in from out of state, and that's one of the things we talk to them about. It's like, you know, your state may be different, but when you come up here, specifically in Fairbanks, it's so normal. I mean, if you pull a car over, it may be a mom, you know, on their way to hockey practice or soccer practice, yeah. And they may be well armed, and it's okay, right? And so it's just that change in perspective, and you get used to it. It's just part of it. You know, you have a right to carry your firearm. There's no additional restrictions that the city puts on anybody, and the police don't. We don't see that as a problem. You know, it's just something we navigate through, and we assume that everybody's armed in some way, and we just deal with it.
You know, I currently reside in an office at where I used to go to junior high. And in the junior high, I had a shop class. And in the shop class, I got to make a gun rack. Different world nowadays. They probably don't let you make gun racks in shop class anymore.
Not, yeah.
But I was in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I made, it wasn't the best one, but I got to make, you know, I wanted a gun rack. So I was able to do that.
Yeah, you know, so there is a lot of pressure to talk. You know, if an officer stops you on a traffic stop, one of the things that they'll usually ask, say, do you have any weapons that I need to know about in the firearm or in the car? And you just got to notify them. There is a state law that says if you're in contact lawfully, this isn't just your contact on the street where the officer says, hey, how you doing? You know, good morning, good afternoon. You just say hi and just keep on your way. You know, you are not required to divulge that you have a firearm at that point. But if you're under an investigative stop, you are required to notify them. It says immediately. It's up to the officer, depending on whether they want to temporarily hold the firearm during that stop. But they all, you know, as long as everything goes, they're just going to return it to you. But it's not uncommon to stop on, you know, try to say, hey, do you have it? Oh, yeah, I've got this. They got three or four firearms in the car. And like, okay, where are they at? And they're like, oh, they're in the back or they're in this area. And like, okay, well, let's just leave them there. We'll just leave them, you know, where they're at. And then, we, you know, you get done with the traffic stop and people are on their way.
You know, a couple summers ago, I'd come over here along Fifth Avenue, and a couple times during the summer, I saw this gentleman, and he basically had the full gun belt on, Colt 45, cowboy hat, walking down the sidewalk of the middle of the street, and he sort of had that attitude where, I can do this. And I said, yeah, you can do that. You know, I had no fear, never called anyone. Just, hey, guess what? If you need to do that, make yourself feel good, you can do that.
Yeah, and I know it's funny you bring him up because I've seen him quite a bit. And, you know, he generally always waves to me. I mean, when I was just straight on patrol and we'd wave back and, no, he's in his legal right to do that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't bother us.
No.
I mean, it's and police aren't,
going,
nobody's
good,
plotting
those tickets. That's a good-looking gun, you know, and
he's got a very nice setup.
You know. Yeah, very good setup.
Yep. So, so everybody's, you know, you can carry it, constitutionally carry. We don't have any additional rules or anything like that. Just if you are under if you're in contact with an officer and it's a field investigation, you're just required to let the officer or trooper know that you have it. It just depends, the situation based on whether they're going to have you put it away or if we're going to put it. Just, we just don't want a firearm in a situation where it gets out of control fairly quick, because things can turn fairly quickly and you just want to make sure that there's not this loose, there's just another firearm in
you
play that we
about
know
it.
About it.
Yep. And you want to be able to account for
yep.
it.
And obviously, you know, if you're dealing, you know, we're dealing with somebody that's, you know, a suspect in something, we're probably going to temporarily hold it just based on the investigation. But if there's no lawful reason to detain it, we don't just take people's firearms and keep it from them. And we don't, the red flag laws, we don't follow that stuff. That's all federal stuff. And that's for them. We just follow Alaska state law.
What are the red flag laws?
Well, you know, some of those are those, the rules that they were bringing up, that if there was something that would preclude somebody from having, or they were a danger to society, potentially, a lot of it was mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of go back and forth on what it was. You know, somebody could call in and say, and she's right, you know, the caller was right, you know, somebody could just call in and say, hey, I see this person's acting this particular way, or they had this mental health, and then some body somewhere, some government body could say, well, they probably can't have a firearm. And then there was a lot of discussion, you know, legislatively, and we were talking at the federal side, and some of the states were looking at these red flag laws. Alaska doesn't have them. We don't have any red flag laws that I'm aware of. I mean, you know, we're not following that. And we don't have a roster. We don't maintain any rosters. There's nothing that we put in that says, oh, yeah, this person's flagged for something, you know, dealing with a firearm. We don't have anything like that. And we don't maintain anything at the department either. So the city or the department doesn't maintain its own roster on citizens at all.
So, yeah. I got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Deputy Chief Rick Sweet, and your name is?
Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Okay. This is related to your subject, how police conduct themselves. And I had a retired police fellow from a different city as my neighbor for a number of years. And to give you an idea of the depth of criminality that they're willing to go to, this guy set up an ambush for me. I had put my bike out at the place where I park it in my parking area just before I was going to leave. And I went back and I started doing some things like, you know, sharpening a chainsaw and so on. So I got back out there. Actually, it was about like 45 minutes later, and I found that there was a snowberg blocking my path out to the park's highway, and there was a notch in either end with the cop and in one end and his wife in the opposite end. And because I was going to turn a certain direction, I was going to go by her. She made a bunch of fuss like I was going to hurt her. So I went by the cop, and he shoved me as I was going by. And about the time I got to the center line, I realized what the game was. He had a lot of hostility toward me, and what he was going to do was basically hopefully get me to take a swing at him. His wife was going to photograph it, and then he was going to dump his Glock or whatever he carries into me.
Okay, Bill, thank you for the story, but bad people are out there, bad neighbors, and glad that you made it through, okay?
Yeah, but anyway,
okay.
Cops are, you know, criminals along with everybody else. They have human nature, too.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, police officers are moms and dads. They have kids in school. I know we had a discussion with Brian Powell, who was a principal over at Nordale Elementary, and mm-hmm. the kids were over there. And his interaction with me as an officer, that's what he came to. He's like, yeah, I just realized that, you know, officers are off. They're just like everybody else, you know.
Yeah, so, I got a kid in your school.
Yeah.
What are you doing for my child?
Yep. And you know, and so accountability is important, and kind of get on that, and it's important because we do have human nature, and we want to make sure that officers remain accountable. I mean, if you have somebody that's acting a certain way, whether they're an officer or not, it just needs to be reported, and we want to know that too. We have citizen complaints forms and lines. You can come into the department anytime if you have officer misconduct, and we'll look into it. You know, and we have a process and procedure for it. So.
Deputy Chief, it's been a good show. Thank you. Thank you for being available to come on here and describe the incident. And I'm glad you were, if not in charge, you were there. No one got hurt. Everyone went home.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, thank you.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday.